Cliff Schechter is the founder and president of the PR firm Libertas LLC, advised campaigns, political organizations run by former President Bill Clinton, Vice President Al Gore, author of the 2008 bestseller The Real McCain, columnist for The Daily Beast. Of course, Unprecedented is the podcast, which is quite exceptional. If you're not subscribed to that on Patreon, what the hell is wrong with you? And then, Cliff, you've got your consulting firm as well.
Yeah, GSP Strategy. We're doing some deep data and all sorts of research for potential clients and ways to sort of reach them digitally. So, I'm a little bit busy. But how about you, man?
I made a pizza that was a DiGiorno today, so I guess we're equal. Just the amount of stuff that we do.
Give me a break, man. You're kicking butt with this show and doing all sorts of things.
Well,
I'm just some goofball.
Oh, no, I can trust me. My show is better with you on it. Let's start with Mulvaney. Holy cow. The chief of staff goes out and does – and when I first saw, oh, he's going to do this, I'm like, okay, they must be some – pre-prepared, comments that they're going to smack back on this. He comes on out to a press conference, and the chief of staff admits, oh, yeah, there was tons of quid pro quo. We do this all the time. And then he basically yelled at the media to get over it, that this is something that they have determined is not illegal to do and is almost, to tell you the how authoritarian and dictator-like they've become, this idea that, yeah, they're flaunting that they were doing this quid pro quo to go after their enemies and that this is just how politics is nowadays.
Right. This is sort of it's like a 3 or 4 part dance they go through every time they screw something up, which at this point is at least weekly, if not,
hourly.
A couple times a day. Yeah. Right? I mean, who, the first response is, who, me? It wasn't me. I didn't do anything. That's Donald Trump's first response to anything. It could be, did you pay off the porn star? Did you accept information from Russia? Or, did you talk to Putin about this? Have you been accepting money from them? I mean, anything. Nope. Who? What? I don't know what you're talking about. The second part of it is where he distances himself and blames somebody else. Rudy Giuliani? I barely know him. What are you talking about? I ran into the guy in the street once. Who's that? Whoever they are. And then, of course, the third part eventually, is where they just are sort of like, yeah, we did it, but there's nothing wrong with it. Everybody does it. And that's the part of, the spectrum around with them now. I mean, it's sort of incredible. I suppose in the end they had to admit something because they got rebuked by their own House of Representatives with 350 votes.
Yeah.
Condemning what they did, bipartisan. I think the vast majority of Republicans, I know the state that I'm in, Ohio, where there's 8, there's 16 House members, 12 of whom are Republicans due to the gerrymander. 9 of them voted to condemn Trump's action, and one of them voted present, very courageous. So, he had 2 people defending him out of the 12 here, and one of them is Jim Jordan, who I'm not sure we all consider to be human. It went that way in the House, and I suppose they have to admit something, but even Mitch McConnell stood up there and said, we're hoping the vice president or the secretary of state will bail us out. Or he used words something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be getting more blowback on all of this. And it's not to say they shouldn't be. It's just they've done so many terrible things, that have hurt people. It's I guess, maybe is the dam finally broken? Maybe. Is it that some of the Kurds are Christian and the evangelicals are getting angry and that's when they actually start getting worried?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Is it a financial thing? Could be, considering we now know that there were Russian or Ukrainian oligarchs tied to Putin who gave money to all of these guys through PACs and super PACs and other methods. At this point, take your pick.
When you look at Mulvaney and what he said, you brought up Giuliani. Towards the end of that press conference, the thing which I also found to be quite shocking was this almost – and it was an acknowledgement – that, yeah, we have this secondary, State Department that's being run by private individuals that we have deemed are okay. We don't feel as if this is illegal to do. We basically, the president has the right to put any person he wants to go be his acting point person on foreign policy. And this sort of mentality put forward by Mulvaney that Giuliani was legitimately brought in by the president to do these things. So you're acting as if he and his henchmen working with Rick Perry or Pompeo or anything like that, or any of the ambassadors, is out of line because he's okay because the president said so. To my knowledge, you can't do foreign policy in this country. You have to be approved through this Congress, correct?
I think that's right. You know, I mean, I'm thinking back. I wish I had looked that up, you know, if I'd known you were going to ask me this. Because, you know, there have been emissaries in the past that have gone to try to negotiate and be helpful. I remember George Mitchell, like, going to Ireland, for example, you know, after he was Senate Majority Leader for the Democrats. But I would have to think he was either voted on or they certainly were given, they certainly gave consent to the foreign, you know, the Foreign Affairs Committees and the other relevant committees that this was going on. And in case anybody would speak out, you know, and that this was wrong. I just don't remember if they took an actual vote. But, I mean, that's the thing, is that the problem when you have certain sort of mores and traditions that maybe it's not coded in law is when you get somebody like this, when you get somebody who essentially is a lifelong criminal who has no boundaries they've ever followed, no good taste, no respect for anything, then that's the problem. This kind of stuff happens. I know we've sent Jimmy Carter, you know, to the Middle East to negotiate when he was a former president, for example. Like, we've done things like this, but they always were people who'd reached sort of esteemed positions where they were very sort of bipartisan people, you know, who both sides would support in going and doing that kind of a thing. Not some thug like Giuliani who threw away all the goodwill he got from 9/11, which, by the way, a lot of which he didn't deserve. We could talk about the corruption that led to the counterterrorism center being blown up that day. But, you know, a lot of goodwill, and then went and sold it off to every dictator and every other person he could, and ran a partisan, nasty race in 2007 and has had personal battles with all sorts of people. I mean, geez, you'd think the fact that he tried to convince the Bush administration to nominate Bernie Kerik to run Homeland Security, the guy, his driver, who he ends up making the head of the New York Police Department, who on multiple various counts of bribery and extortion and God knows what else, I mean, he was carrying on an affair with someone in the apartment near 9/11 where the workers were supposed to have access to, who were doing cleanup when they were exhausted. I mean, Giuliani has been around mobsters for years. Whatever he once was, and I'm not sure it was much, he's not that anymore. So nobody knew Giuliani was doing this. There was no notice given to members of Congress, at least that I'm aware of. So no, I would have to think of it, that it's incredibly unethical, and it may in fact be illegal.
You know, and as well, it should be noted, I mean, he's Mulvaney swatted down these subpoenas, but it was kind of interesting on Fox News this morning. They actually brought the point, the person who changed the rules in Congress, which now allow committees to issue subpoenas directly without having to have any formal floor vote or anything like that, was John Boehner after 2010's election. They changed it, and they've just not changed it back. This is a prime example of, well, you know, what's good for the goose, good for the gander, and they can scream all day long, but the reality is they changed the rules. The Democrats are just going with them.
Right. Well, I mean, and the claims they make like this are laughably stupid. I mean, they do it with so many things, right? And it just, all it ever shows is they have absolutely no principles. I think of another one. It's almost been hilarious watching Newt Gingrich, you know, show up on TV and Twitter and places like that to try to justify how, you know, this impeachment is terrible. It's not a bipartisan one like the one he ran. I mean, which is just, is so utterly hilarious. It's like, you know, that's why a lot of us who believe in the Constitution, believe in the United States of America and our government, who aren't, you know, who aren't short-range con artists like Newt Gingrich is, who only cares about himself, questioned how that they could possibly be taking political warfare to the point of impeaching Bill Clinton over lying about a sexual relationship back in 1998 because of the Pandora's box or opening. But, you know, that doesn't mean that that's the reason we got Trump. There's a lot of reasons we got Trump, but in the end, impeaching Trump obviously is the right thing to do and the only thing to do when you have somebody acting this lawless. But, you know, you'll get Newt Gingrich, who's a complete joke. He's sort of like an earlier version of Trump, you know, a beta version of Trump, trying to justify all this. And it's like, you know, when you guys change certain things and change certain mores and rules to justify yourselves, then don't complain later. But, that, you know, they don't have any principles, so that's what they do.
Let's turn towards Turkey here because, dear God, to hear Trump and Pence talk about this, they act as if, thank God we won World War II. I mean, we have to make a point that this was
that based on that relationship we've had with Italy since ancient Rome?
it's those thousands and thousands of years we've been with allies with the Italians.
Incredible.
It is. But you look at this whole thing. I mean, this is his mess. He basically, just to get Erdogan off the phone one day because he didn't like how he was talking, he agrees to do this. He puts our forces on the ground in complete scramble mode where they have to bomb their own bases. Guesses right now are tens of thousands of Kurds have already been slaughtered by the Turks. And and as you said, you brought up the fact that the evangelicals, well, they finally got to a point where, yeah, I guess other Christians getting slaughtered is not good. And so they basically have been pushing back. Trump needed something here, but it's only a 5-day stop. So it's basically telling the Kurds to grab what you can and run for the hills. And at the end of the day, I don't trust them that they're not going to be attacking Kurds. They want to annihilate the Kurds. The whole argument about Turkey's going to help us with ISIS. No, we had a lot of ISIS guys under wraps. You guys just let them all go. There's been video footage of these guys running out of their prison cells back out on the streets. I mean, that has been completely screwed up. There is no win here outside of the fact that they've got 5 days to try to get as many Kurds out of there as possible and hope that that appeases the evangelicals.
And again, even that's not a win of any. I mean, I honestly thought after Iraq, you could not pick a foreign policy, you know, like do something in the foreign policy arena where you screwed up so many things simultaneously. I mean, it's sort of it almost deserves its own category. It almost belongs in like a Guinness Book of World Records. I mean, this person, Donald Trump, is so unbelievably stupid. And so unbelievably sure that he's not stupid. He's so weak and acts like he's so strong. I mean, as you just said, he's on the phone with Erdogan one day, and in the usual Trump weakness, he has to do something to appease whoever he's with, whatever, you know, makes the crowd happy, whether it's at one of his goon rallies or whether he's on the phone with a foreign leader. That's all that ever matters to him. Think of what happens, the dominoes that fall over because of his utter stupidity. And by the way, folks, yes, electing experts, people who are smart and know what they're talking about when it comes to things as intricate as foreign policy, is necessary. Mm-hmm. Not any dunce can do it. So he does this on the phone, right? Then by saying to Turkey they can go ahead and go in. To make matters worse, he then threatens Turkey.
With a letter! I forgot about the letter
he wrote, is literally, I could give to my 9-year-old right now a piece of paper. I mean, we could make a deal. Yay!
Don't make me get angry with you. Yeah, Jesus. My God.
I mean, this child. I mean, what anybody sees in this moron is just incredible to me.
Well, and really quick, we point in, you brought up the point that the BBC has confirmed that when they got that letter, Turkey was so damn angry with Trump, that basically was the catalyst for the full invasion and to go after the Kurds.
Exactly. Because when you're a moron, that's what you do, because you don't understand that everything you say, tweet, you know, whatever, can lead to nuclear war, can lead to markets crashing, can lead to all sorts of things. But again, that's what happens when you put people this dumb, you know, and this ignorant in power. So yes, he basically says, all right, we're pulling out. Then on top of that, to make the whole thing worse, add insult to injury, or I guess I should say, you know, injury to insult, because of all the people that got hurt and murdered, you know, he goes ahead and he sends this letter. This letter, Erdogan gets pissed as hell, you know, and throws it in the garbage, apparently, then invades. So what have you accomplished here? Well, the Kurds are the ones who are watching ISIS fight and are fighting against ISIS for us. You've now gotten them killed, our allies. Anybody who would ever believe the U.S. government again would be an idiot, particularly while this guy's in power. That's what they got for their effort. They were slaughtered. On top of that, because they're running or getting killed, these prisons that ISIS members are in, you know, the very guys that have sworn to kill Jews, Christians, the United States, the Western world, all are released out into the field. Who knows, you know, what weaponry they've gotten a hold of. They have training. I guess we're going to find out when things blow up soon enough. That's the second thing. The third thing is, on top of all that, as if you could screw up anymore, Turkey is a NATO ally. Yes, they've got a dictator running them right now. Yeah, we need to do what we can to, I would say, to kindly hope that they get past the Erdogan era at some point. But for right now, they're a NATO ally. We have nuclear weapons there. And no, we don't want to hand them over to Russia and others that they can become, that they'll end up being friends with. where we lose influence. But, of course, this guy who's never met a casino, he can't bankrupt a wife, he can't lose, and every other screw-up that this guy's in his life finds a way to get the Kurds killed, get ISIS freed, oh, yeah, on top of that, piss off our NATO ally, who, so we send over Mike Pence, and they won't even fly the American flag behind him, which they do, by the way, when Russia goes over and meets with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we've now lost its influence, and this is a country that has our nuclear weapons in it. I mean, I can't even concoct a scenario where you could screw up as badly. I couldn't think of one.
Putting this together with the report now that Trump is basically going to have the G7 at his own private golf resort, which once again we get it's so brazen it's not even
funny.
Is that
Hunter Biden's fault? Because I hear Hunter Biden's the only corrupt guy in government.
Dear God,
or not.
You can't make this stuff up at this point. Is all of this stuff coming out? Mulvaney's press conference. The fact that Pence and Pompeo both go over to Turkey, the whole thing with Nancy Pelosi last night, this whole announcement about the G7 meeting, is this just basically a smokescreen because they know right now on the Hill there are, you know, diplomats, career State Department officials who are testifying, yep, they were being ordered by Trump to basically blackmail the Ukraine. How much do you think this is, all this stupidity that we are inherited, the letter being released by the administration themselves? They're just trying to flood the news cycle to bury the fact that there are people on the Hill right now who are testifying, yep, Trump is guilty.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there's a lot of that, but it also just shows, I mean, the judgment we're dealing with, because I'm sure, again, a bunch of Trump sycophants took a look at that ridiculous letter and were like, uh-uh, don't do it. But whenever Trump wants you to do something, you do it in the end. You can't disappoint him. Oh, my God, he may send out a mean tweet about me. So they put this thing out. And again, did it get sort of some of the names out of the, you know, out of the news cycle? I mean, there's still been some coverage of it, not as much. But, I mean, coverage of that letter leads to the BBC finding out that letter is what probably ended up causing Ergin to go in and end up killing a bunch of people. I'm not sure how that helps, you know, in the end. So, I mean, again, they just can't they can't get out of their own way. He can't get out of his own way. I mean, he's walking chaos. He's a disaster. He's been a disaster his entire life. He almost feels like he was put on this earth, you know, just to cause disaster. And, I mean, you know, so, yeah, I'm sure that some of it is them calculating, well, better this than that. But, I mean, you know, all it ends up being is a ton more, you know, they've alienated more Republicans. I mean, you know, Kinzinger, who's the one who's a representative, you may have seen his tweet from Illinois, who's quite conservative, basically ended a tweet saying, he tagging Donald Trump in it, which many of them have been too scared to do, saying, I cannot believe we just bombed our own bases, and saying, is this the America you thought you were growing up to believe in? Mm-hmm. Now, when you got members of your own party in Congress sending out tweets like that, and that's the other part of this, of course, we didn't talk about, which is, you know, also reported now because of what he did, is that his own aides gave him plans, as stupid as his plan to pull out was, that a way to do it in a more orderly fashion in 3 to 6 months, and he's just like, nah, I'm going to do it right away.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he's screwing up at every turn.
It is just it's stunningly bad how he is. And like I said, you have Mulvaney go up there to try to run defense, and what does Mulvaney do? Oh, by the way, we're 100% guilty. It is nuts. And we should mention, too, for everyone out there, these bases that we abandoned, there is plenty of U.S. paid, taxpayer-paid equipment we have left behind because we had to frantically get our troops out of there. Millions of dollars worth of equipment, taxpayer-funded.
Yes, tens of millions, hundreds of millions. That's your tax money, folks.
That is.
If you're a Trump fan, you should be real proud of that.
Now, in a time and age when we need, farmers need help and all these other, you know, areas we need help in, and basically we just left millions of dollars on the battlefield. Really quick here, I want to ask you, Grinke versus Tanaka tonight. You think the Yanks are going to pull off another one here tonight?
I think we're going to pull it off tonight. I think it's going to be a tough series at this point. I mean, what frustrates me so much is, I think some of the stuff that frustrated you with Minnesota versus the Yankees. I mean, we had Verlander on the ropes, and you know, that 11-inning loss in Houston. That, I mean, we were winning that game, and we were tied for a while, and we got to Houston's bullpen, which is not unbeatable. And now, and then same thing. Gerrit Cole is even very good when he's not at his best. He was very good. But you got to find a way to beat very good pitchers. He wasn't pitching lights out. So, I mean, you know, we have another round of those guys, and we're just going to have to do it. I mean, you know, it was like 1996. We had to go back and beat Maddox and Glavine and Smoltz. You know, that's the equivalent. I think they can do it. I think they will do it tonight, but it's not going to be easy.
I will say this at this point, you know, Washington's just waiting there, and that's something you don't, you know, they're going to get nice and well rested. So, yep. You know, it's kind of one of those things that's tough. I think that whoever wins, they're probably going to want to win out at this point because you don't want to wait too much longer, that's for sure.
I think that's definitely, I mean, you know, Washington, people forget to, you know, mention Washington's got the same impressive pitching staff that Houston has.
Yes, they do.
I mean I'd put Max Scherzer up against anybody. I'd put Stroudsburg up against anybody.
And how about that? Because you said that Max Scherzer, yeah. It's like they bring up Max Scherzer. It's like, oh, that's right. He's with the Washington Nationals. Oh, that's why they're so good.
Right. I mean, it's like people forget about Washington. I know, like, they had some new components this year. They obviously traded Bryce Harper, and it had to get used to playing a different kind of game in a different way. But, I mean, you know, they signed pitching, and, I mean, they look incredible. I would think with the rest and everything else, even though the Yankees or the Astros would have the home field advantage, I mean, I probably would give the advantage with rested and pitching and confidence to Washington against either of them at this point.
Yeah, what do you know? Even in the age of the juice ball, pitching still matters. God forbid.
Yeah.
God forbid. All right, well, I'm getting told we got to stop talking baseball. Cliff Schechter, once again, I'll link to everything a little bit later on. We'll spotlight this interview as well. Cliff, thank you much. I appreciate the time, my friend.
Always my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
You got it, man. Cliff Schechter, kind enough to join us. Let's take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.